In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. And what we're looking at today, again, is John's first letter. Let's look at verse 5. "And this is the message we heard from him, and we proclaim to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness." Come on now, let's hear it. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Now, you know, when I read this, I think of Genesis. I think of Genesis, and I think of the opening chapter of Genesis, and it says, "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless wasteland. Darkness covered the abyss, while a mighty wind swept over the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." Now, this is very interesting because this light is not the light of the sun, because the sun has not been created yet. This is not the sun that shines in the sky, because the sun has not yet been created. But yet God says, "Let there be light," and there was light. Now, my question is, what light was shed upon the earth? If it wasn't the sun, and it wasn't the moon, it wasn't the stars, it wasn't the planets, it wasn't any luminary, what light was it? It's a question. It's a question that I've always thought of, and it's a question that makes sense now. Didn't make sense to me years ago, but makes sense now. I'll read it again. "This is the message that we have heard from him, and we proclaim to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." And then in Genesis, God says, "Let there be light." Well, I tell you, the earth was filled with the glory of God. When God spoke those words, "Let there be light," it was the light of his radiance. It was the light of his glory. It was the light of his presence. Oh, yes, because God is light, and in him there is no darkness. My Lord, when he spoke those words into existence, I tell you, the very being of the abyss was filled with the glory of God. It was that light that Scripture says now shines on the face of Jesus. Oh, I've seen that light. I have seen that glory. I have seen that light. Oh, and once you see that light, and even Augustine says it. Augustine says, "Once you see that light, you will never be the same." I have seen that light because I was created by that light. I have seen that light experientially, and I know what I saw, and I know when I saw it. It was not a light that came from the earth. It was not that sun light. No, no, no. It was not the light of a moon. That's right. It was the light of his glory. And I have seen that light, and I know that light when it comes upon people, whether it is seen or unseen, whether it is visible or invisible. It is that light that changes people, because it is the light that shines from the face of Jesus. It is the glory of God. It is the presence of God. It is the atmosphere of heaven. That light is what we pray in the Creed, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one in being with the Father, through him all things were made. Light from light, I have seen that light. And from the moment I saw that light and experienced that light, I have never been the same. Never the same. I became a brand new man that day in that chapel, 1968, the last Sunday in August. I became a brand new person. That light started to fill me like a river. That light started to fill me like a river, and I knew that light. I knew it. I knew it was the glory of God. And you know how I knew? He told me. Now, I had no idea about this light. I had no idea about this light. But he said to me, "Do you see the glory? How much the flowers give me glory? How much glory can you give me?" My Lord, the light of God changed my life. And in essence, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And in essence, when he said, "Let there be light," you know what happened? It was the light of his radiance, the light of his presence, the light of his glory. Oh, my Lord, I pray God, it was the light that followed them in the desert as a pillar of cloud by day and a flaming fire by night. It was his presence. There is absolutely no substitute for the presence of God. Do you know that the mystical life, which we are all called to, can be summarized in one sentence or one phrase? The mystical life is about the presence of God. Because you see, without the presence of God, there is no mystical life. There is no Christian life. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I experience his presence every day, but I'm going to tell you there was a time when that light came into me as a river and changed my whole life. There was a time that I was so filled with that light. Not that I'm not now. I'm talking experiential. I'm not saying I'm not filled with that light now. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying now I don't feel that light. Now I don't feel that presence very often. Now I just walk in faith, knowing that what I do in faith, God will honor, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. I'm not telling you that I am always under the glory spout experientially, but I am telling you I know that light. I know the light of Genesis. Let there be light, and there was light. And what does it say in the prologue? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and without him there was made nothing that was made. In him was the light of the life. In him was life, the life of the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not grasp it. The darkness could not overcome it. The darkness could not put out this light. The darkness could not comprehend the light. Why? Because this light is eternal. It is the eternal light of the Father. Hallelujah. It is the eternal light of the Son. Glory to God. It is that light, that creative light. Oh, it is not a thing. It is not a thing. I'm not telling you it's a thing. I'm not telling you it's a power. I'm not telling you it's electricity. No. Though it might feel like electricity, though it might feel like a power, though it might feel like a thing, I'm telling you he's a person, and when he breathes his light upon you, you will never be the same. You will never be the same. Oh, let that uncreated light come upon us. As Augustine says, late have I loved thee. Let that uncreated light come upon us, O Lord, because that light was before us. That light was before all. That light recreates. That light redeems. That light that you are. Oh, and it's not some kind of a lamp. And it's not some kind of a sun. It is the glory of God. It is the presence of God. It is the Lord himself. It is the Kabod Yahweh. It is the Shekinah glory that shone on the face of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. The Shekinah glory. Oh, my Lord, that light is, that's the best. That's the best. I'm going to tell you, that's the best. That's the best. There is nothing better than that. Once the light comes upon you, once you experience that light, once that light inundates you, I'm going to tell you, you will never be the same. You will never be the same. And again, I know some people have tried to make that light into a thing. Some people have tried to make that light into a vibration. Some people have tried to make that light into a power. But that light is God himself. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. And in Genesis again, when he spoke the word, let there be light, it was not the light of the sun, but the light of his presence, the light of his glory. It was he placed within whatever there was there at that moment, the very glory of God. That's why when Isaiah sees the presence of God in the sixth chapter, he hears the angels crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. I tell you that the glory of God still exists upon the earth. And in some places, it's more than others. You know, places that have been untouched by man, you can sense his glory. Places where I'm going to tell you one thing that causes the glory to lift. Sin, death, hate. You go to Auschwitz, you will know that there is no glory in that place. You go to Auschwitz and you will know that the experience of death, the darkness, the heaviness. Listen, I'm going to tell you something else. There's a certain church around here. I'm not going to tell you where it is. And every once in a while, this church has, I won't even tell you what they have. But, you know, when I go down into that thing that they have, it's so dark in there. I'm not talking about a darkness because there's not electricity. There's a darkness in there. There's a heaviness in there. There's a pain in there. Honest to Pete. Two of us go, we go to buy things because we go buy things for the poor. And they're having some kind of a sale there, you know. And you go to that place and you say, oh, my Lord, the glory of God is not here. These people are in such pain and nobody is telling them about that light. God is light and in him there is no darkness. Augustine again talked about that light. It's an uncreated light. It's the light that changed him. I told you, I saw that light. I'm going to tell you another time that I saw that light. It was after the second year of my seminary. I will never forget it. A young man came up to me. He was asked to leave the seminary, okay? He was asked to leave the seminary, and he was having a very difficult time. So I said to him, let's walk to Chandler's Pond. And we did. We walked to Chandler's Pond. And when we got there, you know, he was really sad, even crying, because he was asked to leave. He's now a priest, but this was many years ago. He came back. So we're by Chandler's Pond. I want to also tell you, the next day, the young men were going to be ordained priests, all right? This is just the background. So we're by Chandler's Pond, and I'm trying to look at my friend. His name is Mark. I'm looking at him. He's really in pain, and he's crying, and I kind of have my hand upon his shoulders. But as I look over his shoulders, I see the seminary, and it's bathed in light. And it was the same light that I experienced and saw in 1968. It wasn't sunlight, honest to Pete. I knew it wasn't sunlight. I'm looking at this light, and I knew, because I had seen this light before. Once you see this light, once this light covers you, you'll never be the same. I know that. That's what Augustine says, and I didn't even know Augustine. Anyway, I'm looking at the seminary, and it's bathed in light, and I know instinctively, by the Spirit, tomorrow these young men are going to be ordained priests. Not me, but these young men. And God is so hovering over this place. And of course, I just couldn't be looking at that light. I had to be thinking about Mark because he was in pain. And, you know, I knew that light was there. And so I continued to listen to Mark. And then after I listened to Mark, I prayed with Mark. And then I went back to my room. I will never forget it because I forgot what I saw, okay? I will never forget what happened. The window was open because it was the spring. As I walked into the room, that light started to permeate my room. Not as light, but as a presence. I was dumbfounded coming through the window. And then I started to think. I said, I just saw that. I just saw that. I just saw that. You know, I forgot about it. But now it's coming through the window. And I just said, I've got a patristics paper to write, or I can sit down and be with Jesus. And that light started to fill the room. Honest, those are the two experiences of that light that I have experienced. That light that God is. That light that is uncreated. That light that transforms people. But I've seen it at work. Even though I have not seen it with my eyes, I saw it with Eleanor. The time that she came to the espousal retreat house. And she had come the first time and she was disgusted because I preached so long, decided to come another time. I even preached longer and she says to herself, I got to get out of here. He goes too long. I want nothing to do with this. And when she got up, she couldn't get up. That light pinned her down and she started to weep. And she started to cry, and she started to, she wept for weeks. Once one experiences that life that is God, I tell you, there's nothing else. As I said, I do not experience the presence of God very often. I do not. But you know, I go back to 68, and I saw that glory. And I didn't even know it was glory. And he told me it was glory. He spoke to me. And now I go back to 75. And that glory enwrapped the seminary. Now it could have been the sun, but it wasn't. You know how I know it? Because that glory started coming through my window. Then I knew it was that light. When the presence of God comes, I tell you, the atmosphere changes. Things begin to happen. God begins to do things. And you see, that's what the church should be about. The church should be about the kingdom of heaven. It should be the first fruits of the kingdom, where that glory is, where that presence is, where God is. And I'm going to tell you, every church is not the same. I've been in churches, they've been so empty. So empty. I remember going at a Christmas time to a church outside by Waltham, and I remember going into the church to pray, and as I sat before the Blessed Sacrament, you know what the Lord said to me? Would you worship me, because I am little worshipped here? Would you worship me, because I am little worshipped? Now, I knew nothing about this place. I started to investigate afterwards. I found some parishioners, and they said, you know, it's really true. We have Mass, but that's all we have. And it's in and out. I just did something recently at a certain place. Oh, the place was clean, spick and span, but it was empty. Blessed Sacrament was there, but you know what was missing? The anointed praise of the people that begin to saturate the walls, that begin to saturate the walls. I got a letter from somebody just recently. Father Tom, I send you this Christmas gift because I want to thank you that the church is open. And how many people have told me when I came to this church and nobody was here, I came with a heavy heart and the presence of God came upon me. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the church is prayed in. Not only do we hold the Blessed Sacrament, but he is worshipped here. It makes a big difference. Honest to Pete, it makes a big difference. When God is worshipped in a place, the atmosphere begins to change. Now, you might ask me, Father Tom, do you feel it? No, I don't feel it at all. But people tell me. Maybe I've grown used to it. I don't know. Maybe my heart is hard. I can't even go down those roads. I can say one thing. They come and they tell me. Another person comes and says, I come into your church and I begin to cry. It's only in your church that I cry. And I begin to cry and things begin to come up. Another person says, I come into church, and you know what happened? You people prayed with us, and our relationship with our family started to heal. It's all about that light. But it's God is light, and in him there is no darkness. People have told me what they have seen when they go to heaven. The bright light. I remember Janine telling us when she died, she was having a baby and she died, but she didn't go to heaven. The light was to the right and she veered off to the left, and this darkness inundated her. And she said it was like something she never knew. These demons were inside her, tormenting her, telling her, you've wasted your life and you're going to spend eternity here being hated and tormented. Then she thought, this is what she thought. She said to the Lord, as she thought, if you send me back, I will seek to serve you. She didn't say, I will serve you. And you know what? She said these two big hands came under her. And she was back in the operating room. She was alive again. My friend Keith, pray for Keith now, Lord, heal his lungs, heal his liver, heal Keith. Keith died and went to the waiting room in heaven. He saw his father, and he saw his uncle. And they told him, as they were filled with light, and he was filled with light, and he didn't want to come back. And his father told him that there were a couple of things he had to do before he came back to heaven. But he said, when I come back, you want to know what? I forgot the whole thing. But one day he was in St. Francis Hospital in Brighton. And there were children there. He and Molly Maloney, my friend Molly Maloney from 100 years ago. I loved Molly. There they were praying with these children who were all dying, having cancer. So they brought their oils and they're anointing the children with oils. And Keith starts to cry. And the Lord says to Keith, don't anoint them with the oil. Anoint them with your tears. And so what he did, he took the tears and he anointed. Immediately the kid got up, completely healed. Another one, two, three, four of them, five of them. You want to know what? They thought it was a dream. But one day, they heard it on Pat Robertson's show. The kid said, this man came in, I was dying. And my mother said, he anointed me with tears. And immediately, I was healed like that. It was the glory of God. And Keith happened to be watching Pat Robertson's show that day. And then Keith said, that was one of the things my father said that I would do. But I only remembered it after I did it. Oh, that light is wonderful. When that child was born to Mary, I tell you, that light filled his face. I tell you, it was brighter than the star of Bethlehem. I tell you, it was softer. I tell you, it was most glorious. Listen, during these days, I want you to know that God is light. And I ask you to find a quiet place. And I ask you to ask Mary to let you hold Jesus. I want to hold the infant. And I want to see the light in his face. Ask Mary to let you hold the infant. And I want to see the glory in his face. The mystical life can be summarized with this phrase, the presence of God. Tonight we will be having the Eucharist, and the presence of God will be there at 7:30, our Holy Eucharist, and we will be worshiping God. And then we will consecrate another host, and there will be adoration of the Blessed Sacrament all night long. So why don't you come and come before Christ, who is the light, God from God and light from light. Why don't you come? There's nothing more important to do tonight than to come to Mass at 7:30 and then to sit in his holy presence. And you know, sometimes when I sit in his presence, it seems like I'm in Fenway Park and all the balls are running over my head and it seems like I can't even think of a thought. But you know what? I'm still in the light. I'm still there. And more important, he's there with me. God bless you. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time. God bless you for helping us. We've been on 24 years, beginning January 22nd, 2008. Been proclaiming the gospel for 24 years via the radio. And you know what? Our bills are $400,000 a year, and God supplies it. It's so wonderful, and I don't beg. Isn't it wonderful that I don't have to beg? You want to know why? If God orders a steak, he'll pay for it. And if God orders a hot dog, he'll pay for it. I just have to realize what he's ordering by faith. So thank you for listening, and if this broadcast blesses you, you write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.